welcome to the Wrap the Show, rounding up all things Zwift from the last week. We're talking tech, fashion, racing. We're live on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and X. And we are live at 11 p.m. CDT on Wednesdays, 5 p.m. NZT. This is also on Fridays. This is also a podcast that you can download. Just search The Wrap and Zwift, and you should find it real quick. I'm Nathan Garrett, and Russell is sat next to me virtually coming out of New Zealand. I'm in the U.S. of A, and this is episode number 85 on Wednesday, March 6th for me, and March 7th on Thursday for Anna. What do we got coming up at you? Well, as usual, we'll talk about what we've been up to for the past week as related to bikes, maybe some running, Zwift, of course, as well as update 1.6 has been launched. There's some cool updates in that. The Big Spin has been unveiled with all of its details. We'll be talking about that event series. Of course, the Zwift Games for the month of March is going to be a huge focus. We saw the Sprint Championships this past weekend. We've got the Epic Racing coming up this weekend, so we're going to dive into all of that, as well as the jersey pick of the week, which is the Big Spin jersey selections that you're going to have to spin to win. And I think that's plenty to cover, actually, because there was a whole lot of action over the weekend. There's a whole lot to look at when it comes to the Epic Race. So let's get right down into it. Anna, how's it going?
Yeah, good. I was saying in pre-show, I did not do the Zwift Championship Elites this week because I feel like I've been home like 3 days out of the last 14. So has been pretty busy. I actually am really struggling to know what day it is. So when you're doing the intro, I was like, yep, it's Thursday. But I was commentating at Ironman New Zealand over the weekend, right leading into the Zwift Games Championships. But it was awesome. So sorry, I know this isn't like Zwift related, but it was amazing. I do this once a year, go down and commentate, and I've never actually done the calling people over the line job part, because usually we've had Mike Riley, who's this American, who's like the voice of Ironman, is total legend, but he retired. And so this year I got to be saying, Nathan Guerra, you are an Ironman. And it was just like so wild. It was so fun. And it was like, I cried quite a few times. I really forgot just how much. Yeah, like it's real. Emotional.
Yeah, it's a moment for everybody, right? It's a super intense moment.
It's big. And like you, as you know, with your commentary notes, you see some of the stories, you know, like they've survived cancer or a loved one died, and you could see them crossing the line and pointing to heaven and stuff. It was just like, it was really amazing. So that was fantastic. And then I've come straight back and basically gone on to this like team building thing, which was awesome. Today I went canoeing. Well, it's called Wakaama here, but like a one pedal canoe with a whole, there was six of us in the boat. And it
one
actually-
One pedal side to side, like this?
Yep, one yeah, pedal okay. side to side, oh, yeah. Yep. And do you know what it absolutely reminded me of was the TTT in Zwift. And
really?
I messaged my team straight after I got out of the boat, actually, and said, I think in the off season as team building, we should do the WTRL TTT every week, like just whoever can make it. Cause it is so true. Like the thing I learned today, I was on stroke. So like I had to like really focus on like the right stroke, and we were trying to like increase our effort. And as the more we increased our effort, the worse we got out of time. Because then everyone's just so focused on going hard. And I was like, that's like a TTT. You know, when someone's new and they come in and they just take their turn off the front and do their hero pull, and then everyone gets all mucked up behind. So it's that real like putting in enough effort that you're going fast, but not so much that you're blowing up the team and getting out of a rhythm. So yeah, anyway, I had this total analogy to Zwift TTTing, and now I feel real like amped to do that.
Were
over
any of the people like were like that Zwifters or no? Like what? You no. are definitely a Zwift evangelist. Like holy cow!
yeah, I know, right? No, they're definitely not Zwifters. They're like from rugby and basketball and like real traditional sports. But someone did say like, oh, what are you up to tonight? I was like, oh, I do a podcast. They're like, oh, awesome. I'll have a listen. I was like, don't have a listen, because you'll be like, what are you talking about? So no, they had no awareness of Zwift, but it was awesome. Like, I haven't actually done Waka Ama before. Like, I have a surf ski, but not in a team like that. It was cool. So if you want to do team building, get your team out TTTing, because I think it's real similar.
What have I been up to? I mean, that sounds pretty awesome. You do sound like a Zwift evangelist, though, to be honest, if you're trying to get people to be jumping in after they do. What did you say? Waka? All I can think of is Fozzie the Bear. Waka, waka, waka.
Like Waka Ama. So Waka is boat in Māori. I'm not sure what the armor bit, AMA, is like. I think the rigger bit, the bit on the side. So like outrigger, so like Waka Ama. It's actually huge in Hawaii. So like all the outriggers that do that, teams from New Zealand go over with the Waka Ama because it's similar and compete. So,
interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Very like traditional.
You're super familiar with this language that I'm not familiar with at all. I love it, actually. It's great. It's really good. I feel like I'm in, I feel like I'm in Moana a little bit, though, sometimes. Like, I don't know. I've watched too many kids.
I got to say, like, total tangent before we hear what you're up to, but, like, New Zealand is doing quite a good job about bringing this traditional language back to the forefront. So my son speaks a lot of Te Reo, and I'm, like, coming along as well on the journey. So it's cool. It's really good.
Well, all right. So what have I been up to? I've been racing, a little bit of base training, and mainly lifting weights, honestly. Like, I mean, so I don't know if you can relate to anything that's going on in my life at all right now, Anna.
Because I think we're on different sides.
Well, because I'm always trying to get you to, like, get a little bit of weightlifting going on. But I had, you know, I went pretty hard. It was the first time I could lift weights intensely. And I don't know if you know what I mean by this, Anna, but like, you get in there and the weight is just moving, and it's almost like you're in a sprint effort all the time, though. I don't know if you, like, it's just always, every time you're doing a set and you're moving to the next set and you're moving to the next set, and it's just like, you get in this and then the weight's going up and it's going up and you're like, all right. Like, and I got back into this mode of just moving weight that I haven't felt since before I hurt my back. Like, and I was like, oh, I'm not... I'm not that over the hill. I can actually, because I was worried after I hurt my back, I was never going to be able to lift weights again. Honestly, it was that bad. I was scared. And like, and this, I guess whether or not you can lift bigger weight is probably a good sign that your back isn't permanently damaged too, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're going to be able mm-hmm. to live normally in the future. Like, I still feel like, because like, seriously, I was like, oh man, I hope that one day I'll be able to at least do a deadlift. And I was actually lifting okay weight at a deadlift yesterday and the day before. I was like, oh, just so much security about the future of my physical health just from that happening. Like, so,
but that's good.
2 days in a row, we went once, and then the next day I was like, oh yeah, I'll go again, and I won't go too hard. And I ended up going kind of hard still. And I tried getting on the bike today. I was like, oh, the DOMS were just, I mean, there is no DOMS like weightlifting DOMS. Like, I don't care what bike race you do or what you, like, whatever it is, there's just, I was pedaling like something beyond squares. I don't know if you call it like straight up multi-faceted parallelogram.
Hexagon.
I was like, it was bad. But that's what I've been mainly up to, is just jumping on. I did the Zwift Games races, actually, both of them, which were pretty cool. I got to say, those courses are pretty cool courses for racing, actually. Mm. I like the loop-de-loop a lot. I really, really like the loop-de-loop. The Jurassic Coast is kind of a cool, just like, I actually did it twice back to back, because it's kind of a cool, like, just jump in, do a quick climb, and then roll in, do some attacks. But it's so short that it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like a, like if you're going to sign up for a short 4-lap Crit City race or something. That's what it kind of, you know what I mean? It's like, go out, get a quick 20-minute, half-hour workout in, and move on to the next. So I did two of those in a row, and like this crazy American crew showed up, though. It just happened to be at this time that like every fast American showed up. It was just ended up just awesome. Being a hitter's crew with, but that American Hitters crew, like there's some specific ones, they really know how to like call out the Z power, so it turns into it. But they're ones that kind of make it a fun circus in some sort of way too. Like they don't get like mean or anything. They just kind of make it like a fun joke, you know, kind of a thing. So
yeah.
So that, I mean, I probably got the meanest or maddest out of everybody, and I wasn't even that bad. But it was definitely interesting.
I quite like I haven't done the Jurassic Coast one yet, but I really enjoyed that loop de loop. Like tactically, it was quite fun. Like I raced with the A-men. I was in like the second pack, and it was that second loop putting in, because I knew I had the benefit up the climb, so I put in this huge effort up the climb. Got I think like 8 seconds, and then was like that. It was interesting.
You got 8 seconds up that climb. Really?
Yeah. And then the bit after, and we'll talk about when we talk about the elite racing, but it's not straight into a downhill. So it's kind of what I talked about with you a while back, where if you have a climb that goes into more of like a flat undulating before a downhill, makes the race quite fun, because if you can just stick the gap that whole way and just hold on. I was like in TT mode, just go. And I managed to stick it. No, I made it to the line.
Stuck the gap to the line. Over the top.
Yeah. Yep. Because wow. Do you know what happened? Is I did the flat bit. There was a little hill, pushed massively up the hill again, then got into the super tuck on the down, and you could see the person, like the group behind him was still chasing. But then once I got down onto the flat, it's like they just went, ugh, I'm not going to make it. And so pulled back. So you can kind of see that there's that real give up factor of like, mm-hmm, I know at the bottom, mm-hmm, of the hill, it's 800 meters to go. But if they kept chasing, like I probably would have blown up. But yeah, so it was quite interesting.
Speaking of passion about fair racing, I just happened to jump into Zwift Riders for like my twice a year. Jump into the Zwift Riders. And there was a user named Sarah Harris that had made a post saying, I sound crazy. I know it's crazy. I know it doesn't make any logical sense, but man, do I want fair racing? And it turned into like, and I don't know if the post got deleted, that people are even like, we'll see how long this lasts. Cause she didn't make actually like a really, it was very balanced. It was very like, oh, I just feel this way. And I just really want things to be real, but I know it's probably never going to be. And I really appreciate it. And What crossed my mind and my response, I actually ended up responding to the post, and because, you know, every different way that people respond, they all fit into the specific, we have like literal categories of response at this point to that kind of a post. And it's, you know, people are ignorant and the ethical problems of the world and cheaters are cheaters. It's just a game. It'll never be fair. And then like, I said, like, world hunger solving type level tech ideas that will actually fix the problem. Like that tends to be the three categories that come out, I think. To like, nothing can be done. Human beings are blah. And then like, maybe we could do, here's the real solutions. Ah, and everybody's real, like, and you got every critical thing. But the thing that I said was like, you know, because we have these categories and the fact that this gets like, I don't know, 100, 200. I mean, if you just left it there long enough, it probably have like more comments than anything for the entire year. Like,
yeah,
people care. You want to say people don't care and it doesn't matter. That shows you right there. Even the people who are saying it's just a game, they care enough to say it's just a game because at first they did care. Like, you know what I mean? And so like, I just went. And so my thing was like, wow, maybe this will show that people actually care about this and we'll get a competitive mode one day or something that looks toward a competitive mode. Yeah. At least,
I mean, go ahead. I've been doing quite a lot of work in sport philosophy at the moment, like what is sport? And I think there's this funny assumption that unless you're in the elite levels, like Olympics, or in this case, like the elite Zwift gamers, that fairness in sport isn't actually like that important. But I think it's very incorrect. I think sport, you line up at a start line and you want an element of fairness that you know about, or at least know the parameters, right? And I think you do have to put up with quite a bit in Zwift racing. Like there was, you know, a dude in our race just holding 6 watts a kg for like the entire race. And you're sort of like, not sure that's correct, but you just kind of let it go. But I kind of appreciate those comments because I think we've kind of, and I think I'm in this too, that I've just slipped into that, well, there'll always be Z power and there'll always be the people who aren't da-da-da. But why? Like, actually, maybe that is in the future. Maybe you could just come on as a community member and come on and go, no, I know this is like, for the most part, fair.
So okay, I mean, I'm going to say three things there. One is like, from the playground on, it's been like people be like, what are you doing? Like early on, games start as like, hey, we should treat each other fairly. Like that's built into humans, right? And so yeah. Like, and then there's also this idea of like casual mode is okay to have. Like that's totally fine. And right now in esports, actually, not just in Zwift, there's a huge fight about, do you just bring in the dollars and not care about competitive things and like whether or not they have integrity because this is just entertainment? Because that's what you're saying. Mm. You're saying this is just entertainment then. And that's what like the game Apex that I get really passionate about as well, because anytime I compete in anything, I'm freaking like, I'm back at the playground like, rah! Like I want to like win. I'm totally into it. So like I get super into it. And right now, there's this, if you go to the competitive Apex Reddit right now, this whole issue of aim assist, which is essentially Z power in some ways, maybe not quite that bad. Maybe it's like a overreading trainer, right? But it's essentially like anybody who shows up and uses console controllers, because there's people all over the world who can use consoles. So that means if you get more console players, your population playing the game goes way up and it's a free to play. So how do you make your money? On skins and packs and all this stuff. So the more people you get, the more money you make. It's not about competitive fairness. Do you see what I'm saying? It's casual mode. Yeah. So the more people you entertain, the more money you're going to make. So then it's an entertainment product. Right? It's not a competitive product, because competition products are about fairness. They're about fairness of rules that you end up with a clear winner because they are better at the game. Right? And so those are the three things like that have got me thinking. But like I think from the playground on, you like think back, like when you first started playing a game, there was an initial like, well, how do you play? And dude, Joe's cheating. You know what I mean? And you called it out or whoever. Like, what the heck, you know? And so, anyways, I do think that my other response was, you know, it'll just a game. There'll always be, and I, you know what? There's always going to be, on the playground, there was cheaters. There will always be cheaters. But I think there are ways that we could become within acceptable percentages and acceptable boundaries, you know, that we could create to make it really difficult and be fairly, like confident that that at least most, almost 100% of the time or 98% of the time, this is right on at a community level even, you know. But I just think the resource hasn't been put there because we got to get those entertainment value numbers as high as we can, because this is a business space too. And I wonder if a lot of games, and one of my other kind of last thing I'll say here, sorry, I know I'm going on a little bit of a tangent, but like, just I had this like sad like across all esports a little bit, like if this is direction that things are gonna go, because it is just entertainment, because I like competition so much in this space, but like are the big businesses just gonna keep on selling out for participation rather than make it like a high skill cap space? Because high skill caps keep people, you know what I mean? Like the, I don't know. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Or no? Yeah. I get it. And it's an interesting journey the likes of, say, Parkrun have gone through in the UK, where they were starting to have leaderboards and it was really competitive and now they've like stripped away visible leaderboards. And it's like our ethos when we started was mass participation, just come along to your local park and do it. And we've got to go back to that. So it's kind of like, I don't know how brutally honest I can be. Maybe I'll just be brutally honest. I think this is like the Zwift Games elite side of things, and we'll again go into that. I thought was just freaking amazing. Like I loved it. Taking part in the Zwift Games community part, because the only racing I usually do is the WTRL Zwift Racing League. I felt like going to this, I was like, oh yeah, this is the Wild West of Zwift racing. Like this is just crazy. You know, like I was like, okay, yeah, this is where it's not managed. Well, it's just community racing with nothing around it, right? Like no And even in ZRL, there's kind of accountability because you know the teams, you can talk to a team manager and you can sort of do that stuff, the self-policing that we've talked about. But yeah, I was like, oh yeah, this is, yeah, Zwift should not be in this space. Like mass community random races that just, it was a bit, yeah, out there. I think that the things they do, like the huge community rides, the Tour of Watopia, the Tour de Zwift, are like bread and butter for them. I think they are awesome. And I think that meets that huge participation component. And I just think the racing part either is elite or managed very well by the community.
Okay. So I would say that Zwift can create a bridge though. Like if they're not, so I did say this during my stream of the Zwift games afterwards. There was a lot of frustration amongst the A's and a lot of people were saying things, but nobody was really like, nobody was being like, making direct accusations and like, you know, derogatory toward anyone, but it was just like, like the frustration. And the thing that it was like, if not managed, then let go, like was the thing that's kind of come up a few different times. And, but I think there's a middle ground there where like you can have a bridge to those community organizations, like a community Zwift Games and a Z Racing, because Z Racing and Zwift Games are some of the highest participation races we have ever seen on Zwift, hands down. And so, of course, like you do all this introduction, and when you do that introduction, though, I think the communication of those things is really important. That this is a casual space where, you know, things aren't necessarily very, like, how do you say all that? There's probably a way to say it. There's probably a way to communicate it best. And you can do it a really good PR job on the way that you communicate those things up front. And then it points as a bridge to tooled up community organizers who hold those expectations of what kind of space you're walking into. Right now, the expectations aren't clearly defined. And it feels like defining them or not defining them is almost avoided, actually. Like in order to not have to stand somewhere on it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you're kind of trying to double sell instead of like, no, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, to the racers who are like, da, 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 da. And then it's like, yeah, to the, and then everybody can have their cake and eat it too. But everyone's eating like a different cake they showed up for, this one, or nachos. I wanted nachos and you just fed me sugar and cake. And I wanted cake and I just got nachos. Like, what the heck? And I hate jalapenos and I'm allergic to freaking beans and I'm dying. Like, you know what I mean? Like the expectations were not, you know, so when you mix those up, people end up in the hospital. No, I'm just kidding. Not in the hospital. But they end up, not, you know, not eating the right food and their allergies get triggered. I don't know how that analogy worked out, but all right. That was a total
I like that analogy.
Trail. That was not I even like the in, analogy, that was not even in the show notes at all. So that was all free. And we'll, I think, just go ahead and move on. So update 1.6. What do you think about 1.6? What are you thinking here? I saw some cool stuff, I thought, in 1.6. One of the main things was the ride on bomb. That thing is pretty cool. I think it was really well done because it's subtle and just kind of this little, like, blue circle that quickly goes out from you, and then you get to see all the ride-ons go over the people's heads, and you know that that was from you. Then that was the main thing that clicked with me, was like, I don't know if that's for me, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah, and I think now that so many people have plays and you can just do that ride on bombs so easily, I love it. I have to say, I am still working my way through on how I feel about update 1.59. Like, I haven't even got to 1.6 yet. So, but I wanted to touch on 1.59 and the player highlights, which I've now had a lot of experience with because I did a group ride, did a race, did a workout, did not realize, and I did not see it in any notes. And when you do a workout, your player, your avatar flashes the color of the upcoming thing you've got going on. So if you've got a red, you know, some sprints coming up, as you're approaching the starts of the sprint, your avatar starts flashing red. And if you're coming into a zone two, your avatar starts flashing blue. I loved it.
You like
that?
It was so
cool. I loved it. Yep. Won't turn that off. Loved it. Loved it in the group ride because the yellow leader and the red sweeper were colored those colors and I could just follow them. I think the player highlight has been awesome, actually. Really, really cool. And the biggest thing, and but we'll talk about it soon, the Zwift Games Elite player highlight visibility of who they were talking about was amazing. Like, it was highlighted on the person. Like, before, remember they used to do that thing where it kind of like highlighted that person, but everyone else went a bit dim.
Mm-hmm.
And but now it's just like part, oh, I just think, yeah, this, that was such a showcase to me of something you can do in Zwift, but that you can't do in real life. Like, in real life, there's a huge peloton, they're talking about someone, you can't zoom in or highlight who they're talking about. You're just kind of like, oh, one of the people in there. So yeah. So sorry, I know it's 1.59, but that player highlight is a huge tick from me.
Yeah, super, super awesome. I agree with that. I actually noticed the workout thing very, very keenly when Gabby was doing a workout today. And when she started flashing red, I was like, oh, because it didn't click with me how cool it would be until I saw her flash. I was like, oh, a hard one. This is going to be a hard interval because she's flashing red instead of orange or green or, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool that it's different, you know, as far as what color is coming. So I thought that was cool. The ride-on bomb is great. Now you can see when you push your ride-on bomb, this blue comes out from you. That's about it. But I think those are like slight, they're kind of significant to me at least, because it's heading toward this interactive graphics with things you do that then tell you stuff that's happening in the game. I think that that has a lot of opportunity once they get these things placed in game.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've got to throw this out there because Nathan doesn't use camera angle one, so he can't help me. But has something happened to camera angle one? Because I've been in a couple of events now where the whole, my avatar is so close to the screen, I can't even barely even see the red light on them. Like, it's right there. Like, it seems way, way closer. So I don't know. If someone can tell me, I can't see anything in the forums, or if it's just me.
So when you said what's this, going on. I kind of thought about it, and I'm wondering if the player highlight changed how my perspective a little bit, maybe, though, and rather nothing changed, but it just the highlights made it look
different. No, but it's different. It's different in the workout I did, just in the events. It was just the Zwift Games event I did. I was like, whoa, why am I so close? And then after the Zwift Games event where I went back to wherever I was, it was different. So it was the event.
Have you tried any other events then too? Or
yeah, I tried a group ride and it was just normal. So it was just the event. Yeah.
That's
so I don't know what that means.
Huh. Yeah. I wonder if there's some special stuff happening with the Zwift Games events, because we also had a thing happen where we couldn't get results, but we could get results from everything except for Zwift Games events. So there might be some special setting. And they have the, what do you think about neutralizing bikes in community events? All bikes are neutralized in the Zwift Games events. It doesn't matter what bike you use.
Oh, I totally forgot that.
So you're like, I'm using this bike, and you thought you were getting some sort of whatever from your bike.
No, well, I had like the specialized mixtape bike, and then I was like, oh, that's a bit slow. I better change that. Oh, I could have just kept it. But
some people were like, oh, this is great. I really like it because there's no, and I was like, really? Like, all right, cool. Like, they were really happy that it was happening.
Do you know what I'm happy about it now that I know is I can just start dusting off some of those bikes in my garage that I really like, but I never use.
That you never use. That's true. That is true. It does make it so that you can use bikes that are kind of cool looking. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Right on. All right. Well, that's 1.6. Now, the big spin has been completely unveiled, and it looks pretty cool. The idea is that there's going to be these events, and at the end of the route, not necessarily at the end of the event, but every time you complete a route that is in this big spin events, you will get to spin a wheel that will offer you prizes. Throughout the events, there are 8 slots on the spinner for things that will actually change up. Prize spinner has 8 slots with different probabilities assigned to each. 6 of the slots will feature the same prize throughout the series, which means that there will be the other 2 slots will change each stage, giving us a total of 14 possible prizes throughout the series. So you don't want to miss any stage, actually. And what if you don't get those other 2? Like, you got to really, like, go after this stuff.
This is, reading this, and I'm kind of, like, I'd probably say, like, a little bit, like, demotivated on the bike at the moment. It's kind of coming into the end of summer for us, and I looked at this and was like, oh, this will get me on the bike because I want everything. I was like, okay, this is great. Yep. Like I'll get to the end and be like, what have I got? What have I got? Oh, go around and do it again. So I'm stoked. And like, there are some really, really good unlocks. So when I went through, I looked at the first ones. I was like, okay, cool. You've got like some kind of retro-ish looking shoes with just like blue and red and the real old school 80s kind of sock. Then you have the big spin bike, which is crazy and awesome because if it's a neutralized bike, like guarantee I'll be using that. And then you have the headphones.
It looks like there's a motor
again,
in it. It honestly looks like
I know, a right? So good. The helmet's kind of a bit blah, just like a blue helmet, but the headphones are cool. The triathlon spoke wheel, though. Have you seen that thing?
I have. It's so ugly. I'm sorry. That thing's. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just kind of like, it's good ugly. Like, it's like, I don't know if you know what I mean.
Oh, it's amazing.
Like, it's kind of like. So.
It's like retro try and kind
of.
I mean, I
had one of those. I had a Spinergy wheel like that on the first road bike I ever ridden that my grandpa let me use and then gifted me. So like that was 100% the first like wheel that I had been using. So it's definitely got some nostalgia around it and it's Zwifty. So it's cool. It's definitely cool. It wasn't the coolest looking, in my opinion. Well, at least it looked cool then. It just feels 80s, 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That's what I like. Yeah. And it's going to be a disc wheel though. So I'm kind of pumped to see when Eric from Zwift Insider does the speed tests on it because I'm not a huge fan of the DT Swiss wheel, but I know it's a lot faster just because it's a bit boring. So I hope that this is now like the fastest wheel so I can use that. And then we will go through the kit unlocks in our jersey of the week because not only do you get the Big Spin kit, but there's like four world kits. And I know we've featured some of those world kits in the past, not the same ones, but the NYC ones, the Mercury ones, where they did tour of those places. And those kits have like stood the test of time as being really, really good kits. So like
this, this spinner, I think is going to get addictive, honestly. Like,
oh, no.
Think about it. You had to climb all the way to the top to the Elf de Zwift to be able to even get it to show up before. Now, and I like the idea that these events, Mercury Islands, March 7th, 11th through the 17th, this all kicks off on March 11th. You can do a long for 33K, but you can just do a quick 18.7K Suki's Playground, one lap, and you can get the spin, right? You can do Grand Lunder Flat. You can get the spin. What, 17.4? Mighty Metropolitan, 20.4. That's going to be maybe a little bit harder because there's 321 meters of elevation. But still, like, these shorter ones, and there's two laps of the Tease Express, which tells me that you're going to get two spins, actually, in stage four on this short course. And you could just do these back-to-back if you really want to go for it. So
it's ride all day.
Yeah, and then look, I mean, this April 8th through the 14th makeup and the 15th through every 3 hours and every hour, you're going to be able to, like, people are going to be doing these non-stop, I think, to try and unlock all of these.
Yeah,
all these things. I mean, I know I am going to be going after them. So,
I will. Yeah, because I've decided to, unlike you and Gabby, who like motored your way up to level 100. I'm like taking my time with that, and each time I get an unlock, I put that unlock on and I wear it for the next week or two, and it's been like a real nice journey. But this one, I'm like, yeah, I'll be in there. Like spin till I get all the things I want, and I just don't want to get that blue helmet every time, because that's the one thing I don't want.
I think it took me 26 times up the Alpe de Zwift to get, and I did it in like 1 month or something. I mean, it was something crazy. I climbed the Alpe like three times a day, something crazy like that, over and over and over again to try and get those wheels. It was nuts.
We were just talking about that in chat. It took me 3 years to get those.
I honestly thought my account was like marked to say don't give him any. Like I was like, I had to do the masochist badge first. Like it was, I even went and talked, like while I was doing this, I did. So when they first released it, I took a trip to Long Beach to ZHQ and actually did one of my climbs live at ZHQ and then asked John, like, what's going on, dude? Like, why am I not getting this over and over again? He just smirked at me. So I don't know if anything was ever up, but it was definitely been a topic that was kind of similar to the fact that Simon never got his Tron bike. I was discriminated against for my melon steins. Come on now. Oh, anyways.
Oh, absolutely. So, but then the problem is I've got them now and I like use them never.
Never. You know, the only reason I use those over the Alpinists is because they were so hard to get. Because I like that look of the Alpinist better, actually. But
I didn't work as hard for those.
Yeah, I didn't work as hard for those. So that's the big spin. This is going to be super exciting. I hope to see a lot of you out there in the events. I think they're going to be packed. I'd be surprised if this isn't like one of the most attended campaigns for the month of March, actually. And that's the crazy thing is that Zwift are killing it in March. Honestly, like Zwift Games and the Big Spin are killing it on two fronts right now. Community, and I think this is totally obviously on purpose, like get the racers, which is a big, really passionate crew, and get the event casual, have fun. I just need something entertaining to get me on the bike crew going for something as well. Like, well done, Zwift. I think they're going to have massive participation. And I think for their current user base, I'd be really surprised if the percentage isn't a lot higher than what they've, you know, seen in the past for this time of year outside of COVID years.
Yeah, I think so. Because usually around this time of year, they do like the tour of whatever one we didn't have. So tour of Watopia, maybe. I think just having, Zwift Games for a bit of racing and then this Big Spin, which is just totally new and fun. I'd be interested to see those numbers. But it's kind of strategically a good time. Like just when people are sort of going, I might just get off. They're like, oh, wait up. There's something there I can get. I'll stay on for that other month.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to impact things. Like as you ride during warmer times, if you start getting in the habit of like, oh, it's not that bad riding. It's easier. And you know what I mean? Like I don't know. I get into a habit of riding indoors and just like, well, it's just kind of like, it's right there. Okay. I'm just going to go. You know what I mean? Like, it's just And not saying that that's necessarily the best thing for me. I need my vitamin D. I need to get the fresh air. I need all of that. But I definitely find it easier sometimes to just jump on Zwift. Now, it has been about 6 months of nothing but winter, and I'm ready to go ride my bike outside, but I'm still waiting for that like 60 to 70 degree day, and it isn't just boggy wet out. So, all right, championships, here we go. Sprint Championships, Zwift Games. This is the racing feature of the month of March. If you didn't listen in on the last two episodes, you can go back and listen back to what it is all about. But this is one of the largest competitions we've ever seen on Zwift, and the Sprint Championships happened this past weekend, three races in a row. We had a new course with Loop to Loop, we had the Jurassic Coast, and then we had the Glasgow Crit Course. $7,000 to the winner, five, I think, the second, and then three to third place. And then a lot of points awarded through the top 100 of the finishers. And we have a standings. I don't even can't find the results yet, though. It's probably because they're getting verified, I would assume.
Ah, they'll get verified.
Right? Yeah, so they're getting verified. But as we head into the weekend, we're going to have a better idea of how the overall championship will end up playing out as people started to place, as well as how the sprint championship went this past weekend to figure out who's the best punt, like straight up. Well, it ended up being a sprint championship. It wasn't, I thought it was going to be so attritional that it would just end up in a breakaway, and it didn't. It actually didn't.
Yeah, first off, so I didn't race it. I just watched them. And I've got to say, like, I was riveted from start to finish. It was, the broadcast just went up a notch. Like, having yourself and Carla and I can't remember the guy who was on there from Wahoo, I think. But just, there was a bit of insight there. There was the, like I said, the rider highlights. You could really see who they were talking about. There was, I really liked the commentary of them just sitting there, like together. It kind of had just a cool kind of casual, I don't know. The way they did that was grabbed me quite fast as well. So I really, really enjoyed the broadcast. I've got to call it out, and I saw it in the men's race and I didn't see it again in the women's, but please Zwift, keep doing it. It was the gaps thing at the bottom, like what you'd have in in real life racing that you're watching. It sort of had leader, 28 seconds, chase pack one, 30 seconds, chase pack two. I was like, this is great, because you could kind of see, oh, that, especially in the race one where people were catching up, it was like, oh, that that third group is catching up to the second group. Like that second group needs to like move a little bit, because oftentimes the broadcast is just on the lead rider or the front group. And then suddenly you're like, who are all these other people who have joined in, you know? So that was awesome as a viewer having that there. I wish that was on every single broadcast. It was amazing. And the racing, like we talked about it a lot as to how it could unfold. And I think we were like fairly accurate. I think what I noticed the most about the men's first race, more like it just stuck in my head more in the first race, was the breakaways. Actually, same in the women's race. The breakaways that went off and used so much energy to stay out in front. I was like, that is a really risky tactic. Like I liked it from a viewer, but I was thinking, are you just going to be toast for like races two and three?
And yeah, we did see that with Severa. Severa went off the front in the men's race, the Italian, and he ended up he tried making another move in the second race, which wasn't going to stick at that point any longer. With only 10 spots, they're going to chase you down, I would think. At least in the men's race, in the women's race, was totally different. Belfort just broke away in both of them and stayed away in both of them. They were content to race for the next 29 spots and the next 9 spots, which is really interesting to me. Now, I think the sprinters amongst the women are a little bit more confident in their sprint and therefore didn't chase. But in the men's race, I think amongst those 30, there wasn't as much of a confidence that I think I can just win against and take those next 9.
Yeah.
So they chased anything down real quickly. The crazy thing to me about the breakaway and the wasting matches, though, is Vidar Mayo. Vidar Mayo broke away with over the top of the loop-to-loop climb with like, I don't know, 3K to go, 2K to go or something, and won the race. And then ended up fifth in the second race, I think it was, and then won the field sprint in the final race. Like, again, behind Kaminsky, I believe.
I thought Kaminsky won. Yeah.
Well, he won the field sprint. That's insane how good he's going. Like, he is going so good right now. Like, and I forgot how good Vidar is at Zwifting. And I think it's because he was kind of quieter over the last year to year and a half, maybe because he was so focused on endurance events. I said this in the Monday broadcast in Z Racing as well, that Vidar's been under the radar, I think, for a little while, mainly because he was focused on like 24-hour events or something, like something where he had to do like some sort of crazy, I think it was even beyond 24-hour events. There was something, I don't know, like one of those where you're riding your bike for longer than makes human sense because you might sleep or not sleep. And you know what I mean? Like there's those kinds of events. So absolutely crazy. And be on the watch out for him, because as far as consistency goes, he might not have won. Kaminsky won. But he was consistently the strongest rider is what it looked like to me, Vidar Mayo. So that, and I think that just needs to be highlighted. Like, same thing with Belfort. She might have won. She was like 10th or 9th or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was like a strong. Who, what, whoa, watch out kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite impressive, because I honestly thought Belfort, when she went on the second race, I was like, what are you doing? Like, you've just burned all this energy. Now you're going to burn more and you're probably just going to get past at the end. But she didn't. I was like, oh, that's actually quite epic, right? What they're doing there, like taking the chances. Because for people who have raced, sort of, well, a lot of people who listen to this will have raced, it is so easy to just sit in the pack and go, oh, it's going to be really hard if I go, right? Like, it's really putting it out there. So I appreciate those tactics. The part I did want to talk about, and Nathan, you were like probably closer to the race to know, but watching it, and I know I can see Barnes is in the chat. We'd had a bit of a conversation last week and someone pulled it up in the chat in a comment after our show, because I'd said, I don't think we're going to see any team tactics. And this person had commented after the show and said, no, I think people will race for their team. I didn't see anyone doing team tactics. Like, did you see anything? Like, did you look and go, they're working together? Like, that's what I loved about this racing compared to Grand Prix a bit, I think, was that it was so individual. Like, you look at Belfort, she's going out the front, not because she had a teammate in there. She was just ballsy and heading off the front. But I don't know. Did you see anything?
I think two things. I think that the only thing that could work out because of how hard the racing was when it was hard. So this racing in these sprint championships was such short races. It was either all out or nothing. And at all out or nothing times, the only thing I think that you're really going to see with such a short race with only so many opportunities is not chasing your teammates. So I think that was the only thing we really saw was, and that next did put, was it six riders in the race number two? So there was that. Like they did play their cards right enough in the men's race to put six riders. Now, big upsets. Brian Duffy Jr. didn't get through.
Yeah.
Like I mean, so what is that? Like most of those riders next didn't get through. Like, obviously, that sprint. Now, Barney had an amazing race. Really, really amazing race. Yeah. But, like, the Zwiftcraft on that Jurassic Coast sprint is dangerous. Like, it is, it is so, like, there is one moment. There's, maybe 100 meters where you have the opportunity to use your power up at the right time with the right speed roll through. And Barney timed it so perfectly. Temple L'Oreal took third place. Like, what? So this is all on the same topic though, that like these courses, except for loop, like, no, even loop to loop, they all kind of pulled out a really good amount of Zwiftcraft too, with the way that they're designed, these courses.
I've got to say that Gabby made it really nervous for us when she came 10th in race number two. It's like, oh, whoa. But I totally agree. I think, and again, maybe Barnes can come in if I'm wrong, but I don't think Next had that many in race two because of team tactics. I think they had that many in race two because they're very good at Zwifting. Mm. So that's kind of the point I was making last week, is it's, this is what I'm liking about this competition, is it's pulling out the visibility of these top Zwifters. So say, for example, Liz Van Howling, who did extremely well, came second. Really good crafting, as we talked about pre-show in the last race. She, I would say, in the Grand Prix has been slightly under the radar because her team hasn't been at the top level. So you kind of end up watching the Wahoo Lacoles, watching the AOs, and you sort of forget that a team who might have been like sixth, fifth, whatever place, you sort of just don't think about them as much. And then when she came out, I was like, yeah, that's right. Like, she is a really good Zwifter. And because this is like an individual race, she got to shine quite a bit. So I am really liking this individual format, even though people are in their team jerseys.
Yeah, I did see Connie Takes coming in, and we are going to watch the real quickly here, the end of the women's race, because I do want to highlight Liz Van Howling as well as Mika and Catherine. They are Zwiftcraft. I mean, they're so good about what they did here. And Emma Belforth is going. We've got 1K to go here. As you can see, she's going full in because, as we had said earlier, she is not necessarily a sprinter, and her breakaway ability has been obvious from this point. Gabby put herself in a really bad spot, honestly. We've talked about it a ton here as her coach afterwards, essentially chased 10 watts per kilogram entirely downhill, then ends up at the worst place you could be, going backwards from the front of the pack. CDA is totally killed. Lou Bates goes, this idea that Kristen chased this down, I don't agree with that. I think this is completely for the win. I think that Kristen is on Lou Bates' wheel. I know that they've said that. Okay, I kind of believe you. I like, your teammate's not on your wheel. Like, I don't think that's what happened. Fine, that may have been the intention. But right here, that's not what's happening. Lou Bates is going to take Kristen to the line if Elise, Mika, and Catherine do not chase these two down. There is no draft on these two at this point. They are gone, and other riders have to close this down. And Kristen 100% will go to win this race if those other racers don't come back. I mean, that's my opinion on this situation right here.
Yeah, I just saw someone come into chat that say Kulchinski closing down the gaps for Catherine to win at the end was a team tactic. So what actually happened here? Because I just was like, I got overwhelmed on this last part, just being like, yeah, oh, so there's Belforth so much going
went,
on.
So Belforth went, right? Belforth went. This is Belforth going, right? And I'll see if I can speed this up just a tad. No, maybe I can't speed it up. So And so Belfort is going, and as you can see right from here, Lou Bates goes full gas. Lou Bates is covered by Kristen Kolchinski, and they get a gap over the little bump. From here, they have a good gap. They have a solid 10 to 15 meters at this point, and it's actually Mika, Elise Gallegos, and the others here now coming across and then jumping the top there. One thing I really want to highlight, though, is from right here, look at where Liz Van Howling is. If I slow it down, Liz Van Howling is literally in ninth place. But the thing is Liz Van Howling has not used any energy. She's pretty much been there from the top of the descent. See, as where Gabby went backwards after a big kick, Liz hasn't had to put out anything more than this right here. So than what she has been pretty much consistently all up until this point. So when everybody else opens up, she's been reserving up until this point. And Liz...
Whoa, she was up to 10.1 there, though.
So now we're seeing 8 watts per kilogram. Now, as you can see, her moving forward on the wheels of Alexi Snover and Catherine Furrer. So she smartly, now if we get another angle here, you'll see how she slid her way in to Mika and Catherine all the way through. And I had a camera view myself watching all of this. So like,
oh my God, stop. Didn't show this. If you pause that.
Yeah.
If you pause that, okay. So we've got Mika at the front at 11.6. Catherine second, 11.7. Liz is on 9.
Yeah, she's at 9 the whole Not even 11. She's no, not the whole even time like it's sprinting. Like that. That's what I'm saying. The whole time it's that. And she gets dragged the whole way to her second place, actually, because, and I think it's a view 3. I want to know from her, actually, if she's using view 3 or she's just really, really good at view 1. Because she is locked on to the two best sprinters in the whole, and she knows it. I think she knows it. I think she knows Mika and Catherine are the ones who got the kick. And if I just lock onto the wheel, I might come around through the champion's descent. And that's what happens. She ends up taking second.
That's impressive, actually, because seeing it slowed down like that gives, like, we talked about it a lot last week, the sort of timing of sprints and how you were saying, like, you're going early and you're holding kind of 8 to 9, but for like 500 meters, that's basically that in action. Like, the two are like 2.5 watts a kg higher. You can see in their avatars, they're in full sprint mode. That's what caught my eye. And Liz is just sitting on them at 9, but not sprinting, or like 8 or 9. That's smart. And also, she's done. Like, I was listening to a podcast today on how Capecchi won Strada Bianchi and saying that she's so good at sitting at the back of the group and just seeing moves. And that's almost like what she was doing there too. She was sitting in ninth place, just kind of being like, okay, I've got a like read on this. And I know that if anyone goes at the moment, it's probably too early. So it's not super risky. So yeah, she played that really smart.
I will give credit though that maybe Kristen, like, I kind of have a good idea of how Kristen rides. So Kristen covered very quickly rather than pulling Catherine up. But I do see that Catherine is on her wheel coming around the corner. So perhaps they're like, get on her wheel, and Catherine then probably responded to getting on Kristen's wheel. And then they're both set up for a sprint to the line after Kristen covered the loom. So I'll give credit where it's due that, like, yeah, that's probably the communication that played out as things made its way to the line, that Catherine then got the opportunity to be on Kristen's wheel and then come over the top. So total setup there from 2024.
Barnes has it would be interesting to know from 2024 if that was what happened.
Well, that's what they said. I think that's what they said.
So, like, is that what they said? Yeah, okay.
Kristen actually made a post. I was really happy that Catherine won. So happy. Like, and I think it ended up being a lead out. And like, I think this is my take. I don't know this. Maybe it was the plan all along. But like, if I'm that team, I'd be rolling the dice on both of them. And it ended up where Kristen's chasing. And it's like, okay, we're in this spot. Kristen, go cover that. Catherine's on the wheel. Okay, you're the best sprinter now. So this is the play out. Boom. You know what I mean? It's a moment call.
I think that it was a smart team tactic. Barnes just said a point. Like, I think KK probably thought Lou Bates was going to commit a bit harder and go to the line. So you could see her. She jumped, got on Lou Bates's wheel. And then you're in this perfect position where you've got two winners. You've either got KK who's going to get dragged to the line by Lou Bates and come around her and win, or you're going to have your sprinter in a group that is chasing them down. Yeah. So totally. They'd put themselves in that, like, perfect team position, right?
Yeah, you've and they seen won it the race in real life. I mean, it happened, and they won the race. They got some of the strongest rides. I think Lou was fully committed. I think Lou was doing her usual "Lou will break you," like, and she was going. No, I'm serious. Yeah. Like, that's her move.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she makes this move that's so hard and so, because I don't think she has the big, like, 14 kick necessarily that can hold, but she's got this crazy 10 watts per kilogram. Like, that's scary what she can do for 2 minutes, minute to 2 minutes. Like, her 1 minute power is absolutely insane. I think that's what she was going for. So
men's race. Should we talk about the final sort of attacks in that men's race? Because that was pretty wild as well.
That was the downhills are the new uphills. And they tried doing it in the women's race, but it was not going to happen again. Right? Like, now I feel bad that Gabby was the one that covered it because she was so worried that it was going to happen again. Oh, man. There was a lot of kicking ourselves afterwards. That's for sure. But anyway.
That was... I was really impressed with that. Like, I was watching that finish, and because as a viewer, you can see that this is a really cool part of it, that as a viewer, you can see he's dropped the draft power up before the riders can see he's dropped the draft power up. So you could see him hanging off the back.
There he is.
Draft,
look at him. Look at, like, how far back he is. There it is, right there.
Yeah, there he is. So he dropped it. So as a viewer, you're like, oh my God, he's going to attack. No one knows that yet. And I loved it. It felt like as a viewer, you had little inside that the riders didn't have. So that was just like
12 watts awesome. Per kilogram. I think he kicked up to 14 at one point, even like 800 watts. He's doing 800, 10 watts. I mean, full. You know, this isn't full out sprint though. This is a steady, I can hold this for 2 minutes effort.
Nathan, pause it. This was what I also wanted to talk about. If you look at his style, he is, so he's out of the saddle, obviously. Now, if you think about KK, when she's out of the, Kristen Kolchinski, when she's out of the saddle, it's very up, down, up, down, up, down. When you look at Kaminsky, he's out of the saddle, but it's almost like he's running. Like the plane of movement he's got is almost horizontal. Like if you watch him, I was like, oh my gosh. Like
he's trying to get as much of his body weight down into the pedals. It's not a natural... cycling way of producing power, like, really. It's kind of a Contador climb, though. Honestly, it looks like Contador a little bit, the way that he climbs.
Yeah, but it just seems a little bit less up and down, I would just say, like, compared to just the way his body is. And looking at KK, she's like slamming down. He just seems to be going like back forward a lot more. Anyway, it's just something that I noticed from his video being on that I was like, that is a different style. Also, his bike is moving around a lot. Like that.
Yeah, he's on a kicker move and the climb that moves. So this bike setup moves for him, actually.
Yeah, it's moving a lot. Like, I was like, that would drive me insane.
You don't even like it, hey?
I hate it. I want rock solid.
Oh man. Well, yeah, so this move was absolutely amazing. You can see Vidar Mayo now taking that second place we had talked about, super consistent there from him. But Kaminsky, amazing, amazing move. I mean, one thing I do want to highlight for anybody that's watching this from a community point of view, because I did actually, somebody contacted us through the website and gave me a link to YouTube that showed me that they'd been listening to the podcast about how to do your best sprint in a group, and won the Jurassic Coast sprint with like way less watts per kilogram than everybody else because of their roll through speed. And I want to say that the fighting in the pack now is so much different too. And what really played out with me and my very, very opinionated, very, very like view three is the only way to go thing is that is because fighting for space from my perspective is a lot easier when you can see whether or not you're being pushed off of the wheel that's right in front of you. So if I'm being like, if all of a sudden my avatar starts getting pushed off, I know that either I'm overextending or I'm being fought with a rider, and I'll fight for that wheel and I'll fight for that positioning. And as the ramping up happens, the reason why if it's the worst place to be is on the front, unless you're going to fight for the wheels that are coming around you and you slow way down is because you literally get pushed to the outside now. And you, that is where there's no draft. And you immediately have not only the CDA that was originally being pushed against you from the front of the pack, you're then pushed to the side where the least CDA, the least draft is as well. And then you're shot to the back because you have way less draft. So you have to like fight to get back in then. So then you have to fight to get past the rider that's next to you and get back in. And if they're already galloping in a sprint, you got to put out, it's like, you have to be, you have to essentially do your all out sprint to get back in the pack and then kick once again, rather than coming from behind that's already in someone's draft and be, because you're already allowed into the middle of the pack then. And the game's literally allowing you one place or another, if you haven't noticed. So that's why that view three, I know I hammer it a lot, but that really, really helps me at least to know what wheel I'm on and to follow through a wheel when I need to.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I think I need to go to view three for a few of these races because from like, it was eye-opening seeing what happened there with Liz Van Howling, like just the difference in watts for her to still come second, just played that so well. Cause we talked about it pre-show. What happened with Gabby was sort of like, was just sitting on the front of that group. And then when she made the call, like, or you made the call, like you shouldn't be on the front, drifted back. But when she was drifting back, she got caught on like bad wheels.
Yeah,
and pushed out. And the good wheels that were coming through, she couldn't lock onto them because her momentum was going backwards. And then that's kind of game over. You've just lost that ability to get on. So, yeah, I
hate to use my wife as an example of like this, but like you can see it right here. So watch right here. 1.6 watts per kilogram. Kristen's at 4.4 and it's about to kick off the moment Gabrielle, because this is also, it's like a perfect storm of like, oh my gosh, this is the worst situation because all of the momentum from the climb, from the descent is coming through the pack right now. And she's at 1.6 about to go backwards. Like that is the, like, and there's an attack off the front. So like, it's like one of the worst situations essentially. So rather than getting the full advantage of that descent and the pack speed, you're getting the full disadvantage of what's about to happen. Actually, watch what happens with this pack. Boom, they start kicking 5.3 from Kristen. Gabby immediately goes, watch where's her avatar. Look what happens with that avatar. Her avatar is this one right here. Why is she suddenly being pushed to the outside of the pack? Because these riders are gaining the advantage of the inside of the draft as she goes backwards because they're pushing past her for the wheels that are being accepted as what they were holding. So as they fight for those wheels, now she's out in no draft land continually.
Wait, pause it. Can you pause it again?
Yeah, I'll go back. Yep.
So sorry, so they've only got 500 meters to go at that point you'd paused. Look at Liz Van Howling. She's sitting on 2.8, 4.9. Like Lou is up to 9. Gabby's at 5.
7.
Liz is at 2.7.
9. Gabby's at 9.
Liz is at 4.
And she had just done a 10 watt per kilogram down the hill to bring everybody back too. And that's why you can't get nervous. You have to trust speed. Watts will not win you a race if they're not producing speed and they're not using the pack. The free momentum is everything in bike racing. It really is when it comes to road. Like that was one of the things that really got me frustrated actually as a mountain biker who thought it was just about strongest wins. And I got whooped in road races where I knew I was a better sprinter than dudes that I was hanging out with on the weekends and Saturday in the training ride. And I was like, what am I doing wrong here? And this is what's evident here in this racing as well now too.
I have a lot of work to do. Like watching that was actually really helpful, Nathan. Watching that with pause, kind of speeding up and just looking at where those riders are and what power they're putting out. Look at that. 9.9.
5.9. This whole time. She has been from 2 to 5.9 this whole time.
It's insane.
6.2. 6.2.
That is patience.
6.2. 6.2. 6.0. Look at that. And now, boom, there's the 8.7. Finally, but it's not like crazy. It's 8.7. There's a quick little 10 over the bump, but it's not nuts. She's not doing 11. Do you know what I mean? She's doing everything everyone else is doing and has a lot of kick left. 7.3 even right now.
Yeah. Oh, it's And she went at 500 meters. That notch up, 500 meters. It's like phenomenal.
Boom. Now she, her, like, her avatar just... finally sits up. And she, well, look, never goes over sitting. 11. She never goes over 11. Never. Like, it's just crazy. Wow. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And she ends up beating somebody who goes first. Mika goes first at 11 watts per kilogram, holds over 10 the whole time through, and ended up beat by Liz, who didn't ever kick that hard, actually.
That's so interesting. There is a question or comment that coming in.
Theory, you must have just got here because I've been saying view three is actually, this has been the conversation the whole time. Theorycraft just came into the conversation saying, waiting for Nathan to say view three would have made it better. We've already said that, actually.
Yeah. And this is my point about view three. Is there a risk, though? So say you look at the men's race with how Kaminsky won with the draft from the back to the front. View three, you have nothing but forward pack looking. There is no perspective. Like, I know you're not in view six, like that's just looking backwards. But at least with view one, you've got a bit more side to side that when that person comes by, you could respond. Yeah. It's sort of as if you're a blinkered horse, you know, like you can't see anything until they're in front of you.
In a really, really, really big pack, I would say yes. Like if there's a lot of riders, I would say yes. But then even then, there's so many riders, they're going to respond. You're going to actually see them responding maybe to something. So I know exactly what you're saying. And I've had a lot of experience with this where I've actually don't really use that much. Like the whether or not an avatar is standing, because it doesn't see far enough. I don't think they would have seen Kaminsky even in view one. I don't think they would have even seen him. I think they would have been watching the numbers on the right-hand side to see his kick. Yeah. And at this point, here's a little direct connect. Like, I'm not sponsored by them in any way whatsoever, but if you have direct connect, you can respond quick enough if you see someone with orange numbers and, like, you can, boom, okay. And if you kick hard enough, you can get on their wheel. Like, you can, and I actually watch avatars and their speed and their depth to me a lot more now than I watch the rider nearby list, actually. I actually watch, like, I'll kind of keep an eye on that, but it's pretty much like 50-50 at this point. And I know most people are like 90-10, that they're mainly watching the rider nearby list and not the avatars. But I found if I focus more on the avatars, I actually hold my position in what I can actually control more. And I think that the rider nearby list to a lesser extent, because you do need that some, but I think for the watts per kilogram and orange numbers, you need that some, but I think that the view one is more a security thing of things you can't control, whereas the view three is showing you what you can control and gives you the focus on what you should be trying to control. Whereas like the other one is more fear-based on stuff that you can't really do anything about. Like, at least that's my take. That's my take on it.
Okay. I'll stop being so fearful, Nathan, and get out of view one. Now that I feel view one's broken anyway, I'm much more willing to go to a different
one. Now I'm going to get all these people who like totally fail at like something. It's going to be all my fault. I'm like, oh man. No, it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. It's going to be great.
So if we look ahead to this coming weekend, we've got the Epic.
This is insane, actually. Like,
have you reconned this course? I wrote it. With Josh
Lipka. Today, actually, and I watched a little bit, but she didn't actually finish it. But it's a really difficult course.
Yeah, by difficult, what do you mean? Because I don't, like, terrain-wise, you kind of look at it and you don't have, you know, you don't have like epic climb or, you know, like a terrain-based difficulty. If we go through the course, you start pretty much out of the gates with the steep side of the Zwift KOM. You come down, you sort of have like a bit of rolling, you know, the kind of typical Watopia landscape. Then you head through to Titans Grove where there is a bonus, so bonus money at the top of Titans. And it's the shorter side of Titans and the slightly steeper side. Then you go down and then it's very similar to Jurassic Coast. You're just riding along all those new roads through like all the sprint banners, which mean nothing. So flat, 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 flat. And then you go up the jungle climb, which I think is pretty hard.
Yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah, actually. And then it goes down. Then you hit Titans Grove, the longer, less steep side. Again, prize money, $1,000 at the top of that. And then you head down and then take a bit of a sort of ride around hilly areas of hilly loop of Watopia kind of thing. And then you go up the reverse side of the Zwift KOM. So the steep and then flat, I would kind of describe it as. Then steep downhill and then kind of another sort of trip around Watopia to the sprint finish. So it's not like last week with Loop de Loop where you kind of do that climb and then you've only got 800 meters to the line. You've got like a bit of time before the end there. And then you finish back up the steep side of the KOM.
I think there's enough climbing in here that it's going to be – you can make it a race. You can make the race really hard, really, really hard. I think that –
where? So this is the part I'm interested in. Sorry. So I look at, you've got the Titans Grove KQM where people will just go nuts who want money. But then you've got so much flat after that. Will anyone be able to stay away? Will any breakaway be able to stay away? Will any lead bunch be able to stay away with motivated people behind them, right? Because the motivation here is a little bit different. So, you know, like the racing last week, it was like top 30 get through, top 10 get through, and then it's the final. Whereas this one, it's just the final. So there'll be motivation from every single person to get maximum points. So there'll be heaps of motivation to chase. Like, it's not like if you're on 50th, you're like, oh, I'm so far out of qualifying, who cares? There'll be motivation from beginning to end. I just think that's going to neutralize a lot of attacks potentially off the front until you get to, in my opinion, the climb coming out of the jungle. I think that's going to be a hard break.
Yeah, I agree. I think that right there, there'll be a pretty good break because that is actually a really long climb. Really, the difficult part of that starts before you even get into the climb. Like, because you have a surface change where the speeds get kind of crazy, can get a little crazy, and a lead in to that dirt, and then the dirt is going to be slower, which is going to make it so that your drafting is not going to be not even close to as good. And then you actually, when you're done climbing out of the jungle, it keeps going once it speeds. I mean, I don't know. That is one of the hardest climbs, actually, in my experience, if people really want to go, you know? And then there's a sharp right-hand turn into that cliffside.
Coastal.
And cliffside's not easy either. You can make that hard. It's undulating there too, you know? And then crazy downhill with a split, you can get if you get a group rotating after a split like that, the motivation behind can just die. Like, I mean, that's really a danger moment.
So I've got to say, in the racing last week, I said, I don't think there's going to be a lot of like team dynamics. Yes, it was probably a little bit with KK and Fuhrer, but in reality, like, it was just everyone get in and try and have the best Swift craft and put down the best power to get selected, right, for each one. I see a huge team component here if you have a team, because you could have a rider who didn't make the final last week, who's still, I'm looking at Brian Duffy Jr., who's still a really strong rider, and you could say, look, like, I'm sitting in fourth. You're like 35th.
Go make the race hard. Go make the race hard.
Chase things
down. Yep. Chase it down.
Yep. Chase it. If we get over and you're with me in a lead pack, you get on the front and you are just drilling it.
Just drill it. Just drill it. Make it hard for everybody. Yeah. While I sit in. Yep. Totally. I think this one is going to lean itself to way more team tactics. I 100% agree with that. Mm-hmm. 100%. And I think also the setups for the $1,000, like, you could totally set somebody up for that. That both ways up too. Both ways up. You can be a lead out train to grab that, I think.
Yep. So, but you could say to that rider of yours who's in like 35th place and say, I'll do a little lead out for you on Titans and you go get that money and then you work your ass off for me for the finish. Like, you get a fun reward, I get a reward.
Yeah.
Let's be a great team here.
You could also see that second Titans Grove with a lead out train. If they make it hard enough, whoever it is next, or I don't know, like, that could be a launch pad too. Like, go get the $1,000 and then like full on sprint. And then there's three or four off the front and they just start you know, you've seen that many a times. So
yeah, so I think the race is going to be very hard. I'm hoping to do this one actually, because I like the idea of a long course, because I was training for a half Ironman. So the fact it's 80K, I'm like, this is cool, you know, 81.5 or whatever it is. But also I'm just kind of interested to be in it and see the tactics as they play out. Like, who's willing to work for it, you know? And like, can you get a chase pack moving to catch up to the leaders? Or this one I'm tactically really interested. I think it's going to be really, once the selections are made, and I do think the selections will be made on that jungle climb, because then you've got that steep downhill, right? So if you've made, it's always so strung out. So if you've made a selection there and you have the momentum of that downhill, you just kind of end up expanding the lead a bit. I will be really interested about that last KOM, like steep side.
And there's a feather, isn't there? There is a feather. Titans Grove.
Titans Grove, you get a truck. Then at the last, at the jungle lap banner, you get a feather.
You get a feather, yep. And if you, then there's another draft. I think there's going to be a lot of feathers.
And there's a truck at Titans.
A lot of feathers are going to be saved.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, because it's the steep side of the KOM, right? So.
Yeah,
that's true. But it's so. Because what if the hurt gets put on so much in that jungle that you have to use a feather to stay on? And then suddenly you're just surrounded by six people who you know have saved their feather. You're like, well, damn.
Well, I better draft well. I better draft really well up that climb.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And up the steep side of that KOM, though, I've got to say at the top, it's steep, 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 steep. And then with 300 to go, it's like 600%. With 200 to go, it's still about 5%. But then there's a dip with like 100 to go, a little dip. Now, if you did use your feather and now you've only got the draft, it's still viable if you're there to then use it at that point. So, and for those in the community going out and racing this one, same thing. Like if you've got that draft, you can still use it at the end. Just save it right till the last 150.
James Barnes just came in saying, you know, it's such a long power up that you could use it throughout almost half of that KOM and be drafting a little extra, because the speeds are going to be so high for a finish like that you are getting an advantage using
Are they? It's 80. Don't forget, it's like 81.5K.
Yeah.
It's pretty long for what I think will be a hard race.
True.
I think this, I know you said in, you know, the races last weekend, you thought it'd be a bit more attritional, but actually they're quite short and there was enough rest. I think people got a bit fresher. This is an all out, 1.5 to 2 minute effort after 81.5K, which could be done at threshold.
Uh-huh. It's essentially KISS 100, just a little shorter, so more intense. I mean, it's going to be absolutely insane. 130 KOM. Yeah, I think 130 for the men, 140 for the women, I think is what we're going to see right around there. So going to be crazy, crazy fast. There'll be some really good timings on those feather power-ups and really good timings on when the sprints are going to go. But I think we'll see some breaks. Will they let Belfort go again? No. No way. There's no way they let her go again.
Belfort is Wahoo?
No, Belfort.
Or she's Swedish Swifters.
I thought she was Swedish. She's from Sweden. Who is she?
Yeah, I know. So I don't know what.
That's a good. And also with the money prior, that's one thing I wanted to mention. Those two sprints, I don't think they're going to just like open up the race and then calm it down again. I think those are going to blow the race up, actually. I think it's going to end up with this crazy fast lead out split. And then the split's going to be big enough that the chase is going to, like, it's going to be all over the place because of those two prize money spots. It's going to go out. And if I'm a racer, I would be 100% trying to use, I don't think I could win those sprints, but I would be trying to use those sprints to get involved in something. Like, that would be my goal.
Yeah.
To be like, all right, this is going to go and we're going to get enough here. And this is hard enough that people are not hanging on because people are going to go all in right here and we can take full advantage of this.
Because if you think about it too, so say someone's done the jungle out, they've got their feather, they haven't used it yet. So they didn't use it on jungle, but they look around and they go, oh, this is going to be interesting, like the human condition, right? They look around, they go, I don't know if I'll win or be top three today. So I'm going to use my feather on Titans and get $1,000. And them using that feather will change the dynamics, because if that person gets away, they will muck up what the people behind are kind of wanting to do, which is just make it all play out on the last part. So yeah, this is
ESRT she rides for.
Oh, I like it.
And she won the Sunday Race Club on My Whoosh prior to doing the Zwift Games.
Oh, wow.
So she's going really, really good. Really good. Wow.
Yeah, that is unreal. Ooh, yeah, awesome. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so again, they, just for those listening, again, first place over Titans both ways gets $1,000 each time. First place, $7,000, second place, $5,000, third place, $3,000, with the first place person getting that gold concept Tron bike, which I want to see in game. So, yeah. Fira, if you can take some screenshots.
Kaminsky, and put them up. We got to see them. 100%. Yep. That'll be good. We did see the ride-on jerseys were handed out as well.
Yes. I'm going to do that as a jersey pick. Teppo put a post up and tagged
so
me.
So Teppo got it? I've got a judge. Then who got it for the women? I didn't was it Kristen?
It have to be KK.
I think it was Kristen. Be, right? I think she it was Kristen. I saw a ton of ride-ons on her. Yeah, so that'll be super cool to see. The standings are super interesting as well. We're starting to get those like min-max ideas of how can this play out, that those who did well enough in the sprint that can do really well in the epic, that can do just well enough in climbing. You know what I mean? There's this, and then we've got new hitters coming in as well. Like people who didn't do the sprint races are coming into this race.
Yes.
As well as,
yep.
You know, Ashman Mumun Pasio is racing the final race. Maddie from the Zwift Academy, I think, is racing this one and the final race. So we've got some new blood coming in.
Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah, I'm excited. This one's going to be fun. I hope I can get to the start line of this one and not have so much work. So it'll be great.
All right. Well, quick picks. What are you thinking here?
Oh my God.
Didn't think about it? You didn't think about it at all?
I didn't think about it, and now I feel really on the spot. You know what? I'm to reward the bravery and the effort, I'm going to go Belforth for the epic.
Right on.
Dark Horse. This is really like on the spot. Last week I picked Lam Kong as Dark Horse, and I think she came 36th in the end. So I was like, I don't want to do the commentator's curse again. It's hard because I don't want to say she's a dark horse, but I want to say Liz Van Howling, not because I think she's a dark horse, but I wouldn't have usually placed her in this kind of a course, like a big epic course without a sprint finish. But I actually think from watching that Zwift craft that she's going to play it pretty smart. So I'm going to go Liz Dark Horse.
Nice. For the men's side then, I'll just do the men's side then. I am going to say, this is tough. You know, I want to see Barney win. Barney.
Aww.
You got to win. I'm picking Barney because he's been doing so good. I know it's going to be really, really tough for him on that climb and maybe a breakaway. I think the stars kind of align situation a little bit. We'll see. He's been going really good, I think. I think he's coming actually stronger. I think he's coming stronger. I don't think that was his strongest from his buildup that I've been watching. And then I'm going to say Josh Harris as a dark horse. Even though he did really well, I think that these long attritional and really short punchy type things, like 1 minute like this, Josh Harris, like not even a dark horse. Like I think a dark horse in the sense that he hasn't won any big competitions like this in front of everybody yet.
Yeah.
So I really think, and I know Duffy and Tom, but I think they're going to work for you. James, I think that's what maybe I'm wrong.
Duffy has to.
Maybe they're going to work for you is what I'm thinking. And of course, so there, we'll leave it alone so I don't have to do any favorites with my wife on the women's side of things.
Good call.
Yeah. So, all right. And then what do we got here? That's it. Let's do our kits. Here we go. Our kits are the Big Spin World kits. Look at these.
Yeah. This was a little... It was a little treat because I thought we're just going to get the Big Spin kit. And then I was reading down. I was like, oh, no, there's like four other kits you also get. So these are the world kits. And it's when you've ridden in those world routes to get the Big Spin spinning, you can unlock some extra kits. So you get the Big Spin kit unlocks, but then these extra ones. So you've got, for those listening, there's four. So there's Makuri, Zwift, London, so sorry, London course, New York, and France. With the Mercury, it's a pretty basic black and white sort of a kit. It looks stylish. The London one is like a real Sex Pistols kind of vibe, like bright colors. Looks like the Riot kit, actually. I think this would actually go quite well as a Riot kit with a horrific Great Britain bucket hat, which I don't like. NYC kit, which is very similar to that outfielder baseball kind of kit, but in a blue and a yellow. The backwards NYC hat, I just see the likes of like Christina Grossman rocking, you know, being like, yeah, like if I could get a backwards cap that said NZL, I'd wear it all the time. And then the French kit is probably like almost one of the worst kits I've seen.
I think it's cool. Come on. You don't like it?
Really? So it's a red beret, which is kind of
okay,
cool.
The red beret with that kit doesn't make the best sense. No, I agree with that. But I think like the French flower situation there, I don't know. Like, Yeah.
I don't like the flowers. I think the beret is kind of funny. I'd wear the beret maybe.
Okay. I wouldn't necessarily wear it. Now, from an artistic point of view, I don't think I would wear it either. I just, from an artistic point of view, I kind of like the pastel French thing, I don't know, going on there. It's impressionist. It feels impressionist.
Yeah, I don't like it. I like chat, that. I think my favorite out of...
Come on, chat. That's impressionist. That's what they were going for, right?
Yeah, it looks very like Monet styles. See? I'd go the London kit.
They're trying to be
bright colors.
They're trying to show their artistic colors. Okay, they have
you
some
know, like
sort
me,
of
I
art
like,
history in them.
Oh,
the
like
red beret probably means something even to that. I bet that's impressionist.
That Prince song? Isn't that a Prince song? Red beret?
No, it's red something else.
No, it's red.
No,
was it
it's
red,
red
Corvette?
Some...
Little red
no,
Corvette.
It's red something else. No, oh my gosh.
I'm Googling beret. Oh no, it's Raspberry Beret. And then Little Red Corvette is another song. So it's not Red Beret. But you could say that looks
Prince.
Like a Raspberry
you really
Beret.
Know your,
I do know
your,
my friends.
Yeah.
I like Prince. It's good.
Formerly known as what was the The Artist?
Oh,
wasn't it The Artist?
The Artist formerly known as Prince, known and as then he Prince? Just had a like a logo. That was
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
He was like the Kanye West of his time. Well, Kanye West is the Prince of his time.
I don't know if he likes that. I don't know if that association. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Okay.
You might be making him roll over a little bit here. All right. Here we go. So that's going to be it for us. That was our jersey pick. Oh, ratings. We didn't really do our ratings. I mean, there's four kits. I think I'm going to give like an overall rating.
Pick your favorite.
Eight. I'm going to give an 8 out of 10. And my favorite is definitely, oh, man, that. Oh, that bucket cap just ruins it. Like I can't pick that. That's the coolest kit out of all of them. The UK one is the coolest kit, but that bucket cap, it makes me just go, you're not allowed to pick that. I want to see the front of the Mercury one too. I want to see the front, but out of all of them,
so
I want to see the front of the Mercury one. I haven't seen the front, so I don't know what actually is going on there, but I'm going to have to go my favorite. They're all pretty cool. So I give it like a 7.5. Okay. Like they're all pretty cool. So I'm going to give it a 7.5 for all of them. And my least hated one is the UK one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're pretty cool. Just like that bucket cap makes me not know what to say about it. Like, anyways.
And yes, Barnes has just come into chat to say, should he wear a bucket hat on the weekend? Absolutely.
Yeah, please, you know you're going to get the commentary about it if you do too. So the TV time is going to be popping off just because you did that. Oh, man. Well, everybody, that is going to be it for us. Besides, what are we doing for next week? Go. Rapid fire. Boom.
Yeah, rapid fire. I am potentially going to do my last crit race, but anyone PM me, I don't know cycling etiquette. I don't want to ride with the Bs anymore because it's 45 dudes and I get really scared. And the As only have like 10 and they seem to ride single file and it's really tactical. But am I just punching above my weight to go in the A-cat? And is it just silly of me to do that? I don't know etiquette here.
With the men?
I want to do that. Yeah, the race looks way more fun and they rode slower. So anyway,
when it pops off with the A-men, it's going to go really fast.
Yeah.
Like really, really, yeah. So just be really smart. You got to be really, really smart. So, okay. I mean, it'll be... When they say it's safer, it is kind of, but you're going to get dropped easier if you're not in the right position. And like, it's not safer when you're trying to win necessarily. Like,
I
know you're not.
No way.
I'm just giving the like, hey, information. You know what I mean? Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Here's information about crit racing and what Anna's talking about, kind of a thing. So,
okay, cool.
Like,
okay.
Why not? If you think you can hang on and it's not as sketchy and you enjoy it, like, why not do that? And so you can say you did it then too. Like, and then you get more experience amongst like riders who you'll pick up things too from those riders who are way more experienced that you'll be like, oh, okay, that I see that. Okay. That's how you do that. There's certain things you can really know through movement. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I mean, I know they're probably going to look at me and be like, let's drop the chick as quick as humanly possible. So I'll just
say, do you think so? I don't think they're going to think that one bit. Do you really think? Maybe. Yeah.
We'll see. I'll tell you next week how it panned
out. Let me know if it felt like they were specifically targeting, like, we're going to drop her. Like, kind of a thing.
We'll see.
It'd be interesting.
What are you doing, Nathan?
What am I doing? Commentating Zwift Games, and I'm excited to sit in with some more community analysis and figuring out a way to still ride my bike, even though we are doing all kinds of Zwift things for, like, I think it, like, productions starts at 9 a.m., and I think we're done at, like, 3 or 4 p.m., so it's a big day both days, or maybe 2 p.m., so it's a pretty big day. I'm pretty tired afterwards, but I'll probably race afterwards, like, just do Zwift game stuff afterwards. I'm excited to check out the Epic race, so that'll be a lot of fun. So definitely checking out the Epic race. But, well, there's quick fire. Yeah, I know, sorry, we're long-winded. Thanks everybody for tuning in. You do know that this is a podcast. Head over to zwiftcommunitylive.com/podcast or search The Wrap and Zwift, and you should find it real quickly anywhere that you do download your podcast. It's been episode number 85. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Make sure to hit those likes, follow, subscribe, and live on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. We've almost hit 14,000. Hopefully we've hit 14,000 subscribers as of right now as I'm talking, if you have been hitting those subscribe buttons, because that has been the goal. But anyways, from Anna and I, we really appreciate you hanging out with us. As always, right on.